Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What's up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and I am coming to you on what is the beginning of your Thanksgiving week, Monday, November 23rd. That's right, in just 2 days, well, actually 3 days, excuse me, it's Monday. We will be enjoying one of what is always my favorite holidays. Now, granted, it's going to look a lot different for many of you out there, right? All of us out there. Let's just not say many. All of us out there, because we are in the midst of one of the most trying years in our lifetimes. In my opinion, I think it is the most trying year of my lifetime, of my own personal lifetime. But, you know, we got the pandemic that's going down, you know, and so many other things that have happened this year. But, you know, the holiday season is one in which we can, you know, try to crack a smile, try to you know, get our mind in a space that is healthy, to recalibrate a little bit. You know, it's when, you know, you get a chance to take some of that vacation and time away from the grind that is work on the day to day. And I want you guys to celebrate safely, of course, as we all should be doing, and socially distancing and not gathering in you know, in large groups. And at the same time, I want you all to enjoy this week, though, and let it be a reminder as we all, you know, gather around to break bread. Let it be a reminder of what we all should be thankful for. And that's the fact that, you know, those who are listening to my voice right now are alive and have breath in those lungs. All right. Be thankful. If you're not thankful for anything else, please be thankful for that, because there are so many people that didn't wake up today. All right. So I thank the good man above that you did. And I am so glad that you have allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. A lot happened over the weekend in the sporting world. You know what? It is not fun to be a football fan right now in the state of Michigan, right? I mean, you know, for our two big-time college football programs not having a great year, if you are a Michigan State or Michigan fan, and granted, look, Michigan did win on Saturday against Rutgers, but did you see that game? You know, it really feels like a loss if you are a Wolverines fan. I mean, you struggled throughout the game. You now have a quarterback controversy on your hands, and you needed multiple overtimes to do away with a very pesky Rutgers team. This isn't a Rutgers team that we saw in the past where, you know, it looked like it was a guaranteed win just about every time you played them. This is a team that will compete, that will move you around, that will be physical with you, and they've got some talent on both sides of the football. I understand that. But still, if you're Michigan and if you're Jim Harbaugh, you came into this season just like you always come into the season with high expectations, and you want to make good impressions by going out there and winning against teams like Rutgers. And you struggle against them, barely get the win. A win is a win, but there's trouble out in Ann Arbor. Michigan State did not play on Saturday, and maybe that's a good thing because, you know, football fans, college football fans here in this state have gone through a lot of disappointment this season, so they didn't need another one possibly with Michigan State playing Maryland. But Michigan State did not play Maryland, but that didn't mean that they did not work. If you follow Michigan State football on their social media accounts, whether that be, you know, Twitter or Instagram, you know that even though the game was canceled against Maryland due to positive COVID test out in Maryland, including the head coach, Michigan State decided to practice instead and still put in work on Saturday. I love that. No days off. Be relentless, as head coach Mel Tucker would say, right? And then you had the Detroit Lions. Oh, the Detroit Lions, as they were shut out against the Carolina Panthers, only the second shutout of the NFL season thus far, 0 points. They put up a donut against a QB who was just in the XFL, folks. Yeah, it was an embarrassing effort, and it led to a Detroit Lions loss. And again, you know, as I've been hammering home for a while now, I mean, look, I don't really care if the Lions lose games. Look, in fact, I think it's better for this franchise that they do lose games so that you can inch closer and closer to the ultimate goal of having change leadership with Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn being at the helm. These are not the right guys to lead this franchise, obviously, and the only way they are going to get the boot and the only way you're going to see a new face or new faces in those positions is if you lose games and make it utterly convincing that these dudes have no idea what they're doing. So, hey, Lions lose, and looking at it from my lens, that's cool with me. Okay, so we'll talk about that loss later on in the hour as well. And then I'll touch upon some other things. I want to comb through what my Detroit Pistons have been doing since draft day. There have been so many moves that have been made with this franchise. And I have an idea as to what the Pistons are trying to do. It's really hard to keep up with everything that's going on with the Pistons, and a lot of this has to do with the hiring of new Pistons general manager Troy Reaver, and he is trying to put the wheels back on the track by using a very interesting and I think very valid tactic. I'll explain that later on this hour as well. So as you see, we got some college football to talk about. We'll sprinkle in some NFL talk with the Detroit Lions and some pro basketball chatter with the Detroit Pistons. A lot to get to, folks. And oh, yeah, by the way, not only is this Thanksgiving week, and not only will Michigan State football resume play this Saturday, but also just 2 days from now on Wednesday, Michigan State men's basketball will open up its season. More details on that in just a moment as well. So a very busy weekend in the sporting world and a very busy week to look forward to in the sporting world as well. All right. If you would like to be a part of the show, you guys may not be able to call in live, but again, I stress this every show. You can call in by leaving us a voicemail and we'll roll in those voice messages right here on WKAR's Current Sports, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number that you can just call and leave us a voicemail after the beep. And you can also weigh in via social media. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. You can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All All right, folks, and we start here. I want to note that the Michigan State hockey team was in action over the weekend, and Drew DeRitter's 30 saves and goals from Mitchell Mattson and Mitchell Lewandowski lifted Michigan State hockey past Arizona State 2-0 on Friday night at Munn Ice Arena. A day after playing ASU to a 1-1 tie, the Spartans again carried a 1-0 lead into the third period. Michigan State had 17 shots in the final stanza, and Lewandowski's goal with 7:32 to go added some breathing room. After making 14 saves through two periods, DeRitter stopped 16 shots in the third for his first career shutout. Michigan State is now back in action at Ohio State come this weekend in Columbus, Ohio. So that is awesome stuff there. Pretty solid weekend for Michigan State hockey. To Michigan State football now, as the Big Ten Conference announced yesterday afternoon that the Michigan State and Northwestern college football game scheduled for this Saturday in Spartan Stadium will begin at 3:30 p.m. So that is a 3:30 kick time for the Spartans and the Wildcats. That game will be televised on ESPN2. As we all know, Michigan State's game at Maryland this past Saturday was canceled due to COVID-19 concerns within the Terrapin program. Northwestern improved to 5-0. Yes, 5-0, folks, with a win over number 10 Wisconsin at Ryan Field on Saturday, 17-7. Northwestern has been a pleasant surprise. You know, normally we're seeing the usual suspects come out in the Big Ten and do what they do, but Northwestern has come out and shown that they not only can compete, but they can win big games as well. So maybe we're seeing a changing of the guard, at least for this season. We'll see. All right, and as I mentioned with Michigan football, after another disastrous start from first-year quarterback Joe Milton, Michigan rallied from a 17-0 deficit to Rutgers behind backup Cade McNamara to escape Piscataway with a 48-42 win in triple overtime. The sophomore in McNamara, he came off the bench and threw four touchdown passes and ran for another, as Michigan, sitting now at 2-3 in the Big Ten, 2-3 overall, of course, all conference games right now, snapped a three-game losing streak and handed Rutgers its fourth straight loss. Rutgers moves to 1-4 on the season. That lone win coming in the season opener against, of course, Michigan State. McNamara replaced junior Milton for the second straight week and finished 27 of 36 for 260. The sophomore had touchdown passes of 46 and 9 yards to Cornelius Johnson, 8 yards to Nick Eubanks, and 6 yards to Mike Sainristil. Now, Michigan's last 1-4 start was way, way back in 1967 when it went 4-6 under Bump Elliott. The Wolverines can make it 2 in a row next week at home, this week at home, I should say, with a game against winless Penn State. Penn State sitting at 0-5. Crazy, right? No Nittany Lions squad has ever lost its first 5. Isn't that something? So, yeah, we'll see what happens this weekend. Wolverines and Nittany Lions. Yeah, we'll be previewing that game as the week moves along, all right? Stay tuned for that. All right, Michigan State's men's basketball schedule for this season was finally announced last week, right? I mean, we've been sitting around waiting on, you know, when are we going to see a schedule come out, you know? And last week, Wednesday, it was announced. And the schedule for MSU men's hoops features 7 non-conference games, and the Spartans are ranked number 13 in the Associated Press preseason poll, 12 in the USA Today coaches poll. They will play 12 games against 8 teams ranked among the top 25 in preseason polls, including 7 games at the Breslin Center. Ranked opponents include Duke and Virginia in the non-conference, as well as conference foes Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, Ohio State, Rutgers, as well as Michigan. Now, Michigan State will play both home and away against Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, Nebraska, Ohio State, Purdue, and Rutgers. And they will open up the year this Wednesday hosting EMU, Eastern Michigan, the Eagles, at the Brez, the first of seven non-conference games. Tip time for Wednesday is slated for 6 p.m., and you can catch that game on the Big Ten Network. Again, no spectators allowed due to, of course, us still being on this three-week shutdown. So enjoy it from the couch. Big Ten Conference play will begin on Sunday, December 20th, with Michigan State visiting Northwestern. And the Spartans will play their Big Ten home opener on Friday, December 25th, Christmas Day, against Wisconsin. So there you have that. And again, as the week moves along, we'll be talking a lot of Michigan State men's basketball. We'll bring to you some press conferences on tomorrow's show. You'll get my thoughts on the EMU matchup. And yeah, man, college basketball, folks, really, really looking forward to it. Okay, the Auburn men's basketball program on Sunday announced that it will self-impose a postseason ban for the upcoming 2020-2021 season, a proactive disciplinary measure in response to its connection to the FBI scandal that was unearthed 3 years ago back in 2017. The athletic department says that it made the decision in conjunction with Auburn coach Bruce Pearl. Pearl was not directly involved in the scandal, but former Tigers associate head coach Chuck Person was found to have accepted bribes in exchange for exerting his influence by steering players to certain financial advisors. That is a big, big no-no. And come on, man. Even though Pearl is quote-unquote not directly involved in the scandal, he's kind of directly involved, right? He's the head coach. This is his guy, associate head coach Chuck Person. You got to know this is going on, right? I mean, we're not stupid here. But Person, he avoided jail time for his part after facing federal charges. But Auburn, for well over a year, has expected a notice of allegations and scrutiny from the NCAA because of his involvement. It is unclear if the program has received an NOA yet. But self-punishment may soften any forthcoming NCAA sanctions, or at least that's what head coach Pearl and in Auburn is hoping. But come on, let's not be fooled here. If I have time, I'll circle back to that story because there is a lot to comb through there. And I think, you know, Bruce Pearl is trying to say, hey, look at me, I'm already punishing myself, so no further action is needed here, when I think the NCAA should be and will be smarter than that. All right. Okay, and one day after Florida State abruptly postponed its scheduled game against Clemson because of a positive COVID-19 test among the Tigers roster, head coach Dabo Sweeney, he lambasted FSU's administration for the decision. Sweeney said on Sunday that Clemson followed all required protocols when it traveled with a player who had shown prior symptoms of COVID-19 but did not receive a positive test result until after the team arrived in Tallahassee, Florida on Friday night. Sweeney implied that FSU's administrators wanted out of the game and used the positive test as an excuse to cancel. This is what Sweeney said, quote, "This game was not canceled because of COVID. COVID was just an excuse to cancel the game. I have no doubt their players wanted to play and would have played. And same with the coaches. To me, the Florida State administration forfeited the game." Wow. That is a very candid response, isn't it? And look, this is one of those quotes that, look, you can think all you want. You can think that FSU used COVID as an excuse to forfeit and not play you guys. But that's something you say behind closed doors, maybe with your coaching staff, with your players, at the dinner table with your wife. But you don't say that behind a microphone or in front of a camera. This COVID situation is far too serious for you to say another team is using it as an excuse not to play you when they did, in fact, have at least one positive test that we know of. Dabo. Come on, man. Contain your competitive juices, my brother. All right, I may have more on that later on this hour as well. P.J. Walker threw for 258 yards. Again, you're probably sitting there saying, who? Huh? Again, I'll say it again. P.J. Walker threw for 258 yards and a touchdown. You don't know who this brother is because it was his first NFL start on Sunday as the much maligned Carolina defense earned its first shutout since 2015. The Panthers snapped a five-game losing streak with a 20-0 win over your Detroit Football Lions. 1 week after allowing 46 points to Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Panthers limited Matthew Stafford to just 178 yards passing and sacked him five times. Detroit was limited to 40 yards rushing and was blank for the first time since October 18th of 09. So we're talking a shutout of historical proportions here. Again, first shutout for the Panthers in 5 years, and the Detroit Lions suffering its first shutout in more than 10 years. Pretty wild stuff. 2009 as well, that was actually Matty Stafford's rookie season, although he didn't play in that game. So Stafford did play yesterday. That's despite a thumb injury that prevented him from taking a snap under center all week in practice after he said that the thumb wasn't bothering him, but I don't know, who knows. And it didn't help that the Lions were without three important skill position players in running back DeAndre Swift and wide receivers Kenny Galladay and Danny Amendola. But still, to get shut out against also a Carolina team that's arguably even more beaten up. Again, they didn't have their starting quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. You got P.J. Walker out there and a host of other injuries for this team, which I'll mention later on when we get to the Lions later on this hour. But come on, man. The first shutout in 11 years? That can't happen. The Lions will now host the Houston Texans on Thanksgiving Day, that traditional Thanksgiving Day Detroit Lions game where you sit down and you watch your favorite team lose while eating turkey with family and friends. Well, hopefully they don't lose on Turkey Day. We'll see. Don't bet the house on it. All right. All right. That will do it for your quick hit headliners. Again, if you would like to weigh in and be a part of the show, you can weigh in multiple ways courtesy of social media. Tweet us. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Tweet the show at WKAR News. You can also weigh in at Facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can call in, leave us a voicemail at 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk some college football. Michigan squeaking by Rutgers. The woes continue for Jim Harbaugh's team. But hey, he is very, very chill. As long as he got the win. That's where I think Jimmy Boy is coming from. As long as he gets the win, he is fine. Oh boy, that and more. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Let's just get right to it, Michigan fans. You know, can't talk any Michigan State football because Michigan State was not in action over the weekend due to positive COVID-19 test at Maryland, which led to that cancellation for the Spartans and Terrapins. So Michigan State now prepares to host Northwestern this weekend, a Northwestern team that is really good right now, undefeated. But Michigan was in action, and that was really interesting watching what happened on Saturday evening, right? As that game just went and it went and continued and continued. And I really thought that Rutgers was going to pull it out, but hey, kickers, man. Kickers, you have one job. You have one job. And I thought after I saw Quinn Nordin miss that one field goal, I believe it was the first or second overtime, I can't remember now. And then, they handed the ball right over, to Rutgers, and they were in position for a really simple field goal to win the game, and they ended up missing it, and I couldn't believe it. But, hey, a win is a win. A 48-42 final in that game. A lot of points scored in that game. It went to triple overtime. But Michigan, snaps that losing streak. And let's be real, though. Excuse me. Let's be real, though. I mean, when you look at that win for Michigan, it really does, like I said, it really does feel like a loss. This team is constantly underperforming. And look, I don't care how solid Rutgers is this season because, again, that one win that Rutgers has on its resume right now is a bit deceiving. That is a very competitive team with a lot of talent on it. Still, if you are Michigan and if you are Jim Harbaugh, with all of the chatter surrounding your job and your program, you got to go out there and not struggle against Rutgers. You got to win that game. And again, all of the history about Michigan football, right? Michigan football, the winningest program in the history of the sport. 900 plus victories since the 1800s. Over 130 years, this school has played college football and has been a winner. But come on, man. What we saw on Saturday, what we've seen all year has been just unsatisfying and disappointing for fans everywhere. And, this is just a clear indictment on Jim Harbaugh returning as the Michigan coach come next season. I don't see how you can bring this dude back. This is 1 year after just trouncing Rutgers. Do you guys remember last season? That thing wasn't even close. It was a boat race. 52-0 was the final last year. And Michigan needed a missed field goal in overtime and a fourth down touchdown in the third overtime in order to pull out a victory over that same team. Again, a little different team this season, but still, you are Michigan. And if you're Jim Harbaugh, you're coming into this season with your seat pretty hot. Can't happen. And it's just so, for fans everywhere, it's just, and finally, it took all of this. It took us to get to this point, because last season wasn't great. I mean, throughout the whole Jim Harbaugh tenure, it hasn't been great. You constantly lost to the big dogs out there, but it took for the entire ship to be on fire for Michigan fans to finally get to this point where just about all of them are saying that, yeah, we got to go in a different direction now. And when you finally have the majority of the fan base saying that, I don't see how Ward Manuel and, his fellow, constituents can look at this and say, yeah, we can bring him back another season. Give him one more try. I don't see how you can do that. I just don't. And, even Michigan's victory celebration, did you see the victory celebration? That drew social media mockery. You know, the sideline storm the end zone. I laughed when I saw it. You know, I was sitting there on my couch watching it. I mean, you guys are storming the end zone like you just won, I don't know, the Rose Bowl, instead of barely escaping the stadium of the Big Ten's perennial basement tenant in Rutgers. I mean, you just beat Rutgers, and you needed three overtimes to do it, and you're storming the field like you just booked the ticket to the college football playoff. It just shows you how far this historic program has fallen, how mediocre this program is now. And goodness, they just look like they have no sense of direction right now. No sense of direction. Look at the defense, yielding 486 yards and just about 6 yards per play against the Scarlet Knights. Last year, they gave up 152 yards and 2.9 yards per carry. I mean, what? That's just a 14-month difference, folks. And you have that kind of a difference? That's just crazy. And Joe Milton, you know, in the Michigan media, this is on you as well, because you held Joe Milton as the quarterback of the future. All I read about leading up to the beginning of the season, I remember talking to Tom Crawford the last time I was on Jack Emling's Press Pass, and I was like, man, who's your quarterback going to be? Oh, it's Joe Milton, without a doubt. This kid has an arm on him. And, you know, it was just the confidence from which Tom talked about within his Michigan spirit made me feel like, oh, okay, this kid is the truth. You know, listen to other shows nationally previewing Jim Harbaugh's tenure this upcoming season. Well, I tell you what, he's got Joe Milton now. The dude's got a rocket of an arm. He's smart. And look, I do think Joe Milton has a great arm. But man, oh man, is he inaccurate and makes some mistakes, doesn't he? Too early. But Michigan media crowned him as the guy. Hasn't played great. The sophomore QB in Cade McNamara, he came in yet again, and saved the day, really. 4 touchdowns, no picks, 260 passing yards. A much-needed spark. You could just feel the offense was different. When you put Joe Milton on the sidelines, this team felt different when Cade came into the game. And I think he should be the guy moving forward now. I think Joe Milton just forfeited his spot. If you want to be the starting quarterback of a program like Michigan, you got to go out there and perform consistently well. I mean, that was a game in which Michigan was really on the cusp of flatlining, down 17-0 late in the second quarter. McNamara came into the game and clear. Gave the Wolverines football program some life and some hope. But, you know, and credit to Greg Schiano. I mean, what he has done in his first season back with this program, you know, that energy, it's been awesome. It's been awesome, man. You know, don't be fooled by that 1-4 record. They squandered double-digit leads now in back-to-back weeks. Can't hold large leads, but the fact that they're getting these large leads and are pushing these teams in the Big Ten Conference shows us that Greg Schiano is doing something right there. So, you know, and when you look at this Michigan team, you know, I can bring up, you know, the final possession of regulation for Rutgers. Noah Vidral, who I think is such a good quarterback. He's a tough quarterback, competes, playmaker. You know, he ran in the two-point conversion for a score. But not only that, I mean, the play that actually, you know, got them in position for a two-point conversion to possibly tie the game, which they did, of course. You know, avoiding pressure, stepping up in the pocket, finding his receiver on the run, put that throw on the money. But to run in, you know, that two-point conversion, I mean, that play looked completely doomed. You know, they got in the middle, and Vidral, who is, you know, he's 6'1", 195. Big-time play. Big-time play. And Michigan just looked lost. So, when it comes to Jim Harbaugh, I just don't know. If Michigan, because they may do this. The administration loves Jim Harbaugh so much that they may bring him around for one more year. I could see it. Call me crazy. And the excuse that they'll use is the obvious one. This was the year of COVID. This was a year in which we've never seen in college football. We're in the midst of a pandemic. Of course Jimmy Boy is going to have some hurdles to run over. Can't you see that? Can't you see that? You know, we all expect and say, all right, yeah, this is the year. Time for Harbaugh to go. Well, no, we're going to bring him around another year because it's a pandemic. Let's see what he can do with that kind of pressure on him in a normal year. I don't know. I just wouldn't be surprised. I'll just say that. Now, he has nearly 13 months remaining on his contract. Jim Harbaugh, after the game, I just don't think that he is a very self-aware brother. I think he's just clueless right now. I don't think that he has realized. I mean, we have yet to see an outburst from Jim Harbaugh or him get angry. He's just really emotionless. I really thought that he was going to be a fiery guy, like he was in the NFL. He's not like that. He has not been like that since he has been the head coach at Michigan. He's just kind of just been a robot, really. You know, give you the typical coaches' quotes and coaches' answers, and I don't know. I don't think he's totally oblivious. I mean, he's a guy who's making so much money, one of the highest paid college football head coaches in the game. Why though? For what? He's won nothing, literally won nothing. So, you know, I think that maybe you can get into such a warp, I believe. I'm going to call it a warp. You know, when you're getting paid that much money and you're not winning, I mean, you can get complacent and you just kind of go through the motions. I mean, maybe that's what we're seeing right now with Jim Harbaugh. You know, I don't know, man. I just think that anything could happen here, and they do love him from a branding perspective at Michigan. So, but if you lose to Penn State, man, I mean, and look, there's a good chance Penn State. I mean, this game could go either way. I mean, Penn State is so bad right now, but also Michigan is so bad right now. But you know, when you look at history, you know, Penn State is 0-5 for the first time in school history. Moving to 0-6, what? I mean, these are blue blood programs in college football. And Penn State showed little life. 20-point home loss to Iowa. You know, Virginia Tech also, I mean, let's look at that college football right now. Virginia Tech has lost three straight games. Nebraska losing to Illinois. You know, there's a free fall at Tennessee. UCLA not playing well. There are so many more examples of seasons that have just been flops. And I think those head coaches just stick around. You know, schools who decide to, you know, stick with those coaches in charge of those programs this season will say, well, yeah, this is a different year. This year is kind of like a mulligan. Who cares what you do when you go out there on the football field? It's what I said about Mel Tucker. You know, Mel Tucker actually has a valid excuse. When you look at his everything surrounding his hiring, everything surrounding Michigan State football, he definitely gets a pass. I mean, I said that Mel Tucker can go out there and go 0-4, and he will be back. He should be back the next season. I mean, my goodness. Wow year. But Michigan fans, how are you feeling? Would you like to see Michigan fire Jim Harbaugh, like, right now? Right now, before the season's even done? Or do you give him a pass? I'm wondering, are there a few courageous Michigan fans that are willing to call up and be like, Al, pump your brakes. This year is so wild and so different. Are you that guy? I would love to hear from you. Maybe there's an angle here in terms of bringing Harbaugh back that I'm just not seeing. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, facebook.com/WKAR News. Tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News, at Al Martin. WKAR is my personal Twitter handle. And also, I want to mention this. Before I hit this final break, I want to let you guys know that we've got Giving Tuesday coming up in, 8 days from here. Throughout 2020, you've been able to rely on classical music, news, current sports from WKAR. And while it's free to listen, it does cost money to stay on the air. Every day, broadcasting the news, folk, and classical music you expect from WKAR. So check this. Giving Tuesday is December 1st. Next week, folks. And if we receive 175 gifts between now and the end of Giving Tuesday, we'll unlock $11,500 in matching funds. So you can help us reach this goal by becoming a sustaining member for just $5 or $10 per month. Call 517-353-5000, 517-353-5000, or donate online at WKAR.org. So again, Giving Tuesday, coming up next week, Tuesday, I'll actually be on the air with our very own All Things Considered host, Sophia Salaby. I'm looking forward to it, and help us reach that goal, all right? Okay, let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll touch upon the Detroit Lions and what happened yesterday. Just not great to be a football fan in this state right now. And also, the Detroit Pistons making a ton of moves. What does general manager Troy Weaver have up his sleeve? We'll be right back, folks. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And again, I mentioned Giving Tuesday, folks. Again, Giving Tuesday coming up on December 1st. People from all over the world unite to do good on that day. Every year, thanks to generous support of anonymous donors, you have the chance to unlock $11,500 in matching gifts to help support us here at WKAR. But you don't need to wait to make your gift. If we receive 175 gifts between now and the end of Giving Tuesday, we'll unlock $11,500 in matching funds. So again, help us reach 175 gifts by signing up to become a sustaining member. It just takes a moment, folks. Be a sustaining member of WKAR. If you love what we do here at WKAR, if you love listening to Jody Knoll and Jamie Paisley and the amazing classical music they bring, and the news that we bring to you guys from our fantastic reporters like Kevin Lavery and Scott Pohl, you know, and our amazing hosts, news hosts like Sophia Salaby and Mary Ellen Pitney. Please help us out. How about Michelle Jokers-Polo and her amazing job that she's doing over the weekends, you know, bringing reporting from the Latin community as well. Please become a sustaining member. All it takes is just $5 or $10 per month. You can give now by calling 517-353-5000. Again, that's 517-353-5000. Or give now at WKAR.org. There's a link right there that you can't miss. All right? All right, to close out today's current sports, I just want to touch upon the Detroit Lions. And, hey, I say rejoice. All right? Rejoice. This means that you are a step closer to getting rid of Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn. The Lions are miserable. 20-0. They were shut out for the first time in over a decade. Now, again, they had a lot of pieces missing. You know, they didn't have running back DeAndre Swift. He has been a pleasant surprise this season. Wide receivers Kenny Golladay and Danny Amendola didn't play as well. So Matty Staff, he was short on help yesterday, but you don't get shut out against a Carolina Panthers team who had a former XFL quarterback playing. I mean, this dude in P.J. Walker is a third-string quarterback. And you get shut out? And then I could, you know, looking at Carolina, yeah, I just mentioned the injuries, you know, that the Lions are dealing with. But Carolina was without five starters, including starting quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. No running back. No superstar running back in Christian McCaffrey. Offensive lineman Russell Okung, he was out. John Miller was out. Corner Dante Jackson was out. I mean, come on, man. No excuse. No excuse whatsoever. But this team is just bad. Bad. Especially the defense. The defense has no idea what it's doing right now. And for a brother who was supposed to be hired and heralded as a defensive genius, Matt Patricia doesn't know what he's doing. Defense was totally lost. I mean, I could bring up veteran corner Desmond Trufant out of position every time he appeared on the broadcast. Jeff Okuda, he gets beat for another long game. Tracy Walker's horrible season continues. Out of position. No pass rush. No run defense. No pass defense. Just pick a spot. And the Detroit Lions were underwhelming. No, that's all I can really say right now. I mean, especially because we're short on time. But I'm going to dive into some more Detroit Lions chatter tomorrow. But I don't even know. Do you guys even want to talk about the Lions? Please let me know. What do you want to hear about? Because this team is just, ugh. And I'm going to focus also on a lot of moves. I mean, more than 19 moves have been made with the Detroit Pistons. Can you believe that? Troy Weaver, new Pistons GM, he has made several trades, picked up some draft picks, some free agent signings, a wild week of transactions. What does it all mean? I'll get to that on tomorrow's current sports. But until then, folks, I want you all to be safe, be smart, and as always, be easy, people.